What's been going on?
All the power went off in my house and I had to go to the fuse box.
That's incredible, isn't it? That's happened.
I know.
As was foretold last week. It was literally at the moment of recording. It's unbelievable.
When you were off and had disappeared, Ben, Henry said that you were becoming a man in front of our very eyes. Yeah. I was moved to tears. I've recovered now.
It's just such a... Yeah. Mike was weeping. Mm-hmm. Openly weeping.
You're also rocking a beautiful moustache today, Benjamin.
I do have a moustache. I am.
Let's see. God, you're changing. It's incredible. I've never seen it so fast. I mean, we all know this is what happens when you become a man.
You've also got the most wonderful V-shaped torso all of a sudden.
Yes, you really do. The broad and sort I've of got sailor's shoulders.
I've got the legs and thorax of a horse.
You look like you've got the musculature of a man who could carry heavy, heavy ropes, maritime ropes, and sort of toss them around his head and hurl them up from the aft to the bow and back again.
Barnacled, but barnacled ropes.
Barnacled ropes. Incredible.
Yeah, because basically all the power went off in my house because I think of a hot cross bun in the toaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what you mean by that. Say no more. Oh, been there. Yeah, we know what you're talking about. Yeah. The old raisins sizzling away against the old filament, was it? Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, that creates quite a smell, doesn't it, in the kitchen? Yeah.
As the actress said to the bishop.
I suppose it's quite a greased bread, isn't it, in a hot cross bun. It's a greased...
It's kind of glazed, I'd say. Is that what you're getting at? It's got a glazed...
It's a nicer term, isn't it? Glazed than greased.
But I'd say on the inside, the texture of it is quite sort of dense with...
Well, it's dense with meaning. Is what it is.
It's heavy with symbolism. Yeah, yeah, we're not arguing about that. But there's a kind of, you know, you could sculpt with it, couldn't you? If you took the inside of a cross bun and pushed it, it would stay. It wouldn't bounce back like a loaf of, say, Warburton's bread.
Hey, come on, you could sculpt with anything, Henry. Trained artist. Yeah,
guilty as charged. Yeah. I was fishing for that. Absolutely fishing, and I've caught a good one. Thank you.
Hot cross buns to me feel like the kind of thing that they might not have in other countries, but I've got no idea.
I expect we've probably tried to impose them on other nations over the last few hundred years.
Hot cross buns to me are a classic UK sort of bun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or bun slash bread slash cake slash treat, mm-hmm. Let's say. Yeah. A classic UK baked treat. In the sense that the UK has all of these baked treats, right? You go and they're basically, you know, you go to say, I don't know, Leeds, and they'll say, "Have you had a tasty Leeds surprise?" And they go, "Oh, I've never had a tasty Leeds surprise."
But it's just a bread roll.
It's a bread roll with some raisins in it. That's all everything is the same. Because there's Welsh cakes. Oh, have you tried a Welsh cake? Oh, it'll take your breath away. Imagine bread with some raisins in. Yeah, same with hot cross buns, same as an Eccles cake, isn't it? It's an Eccles cake.
It's normally raisins and a bit of extra lard somewhere in the mix.
Sometimes the lard levels will vary between these things. Obviously, there'll be a certain lard graph you could draw. Mm-hmm. And the amount of, just the amount of sugar. That's about it, apart from that.
I think you're absolutely right, Henry.
Yeah, I am right. I'm onto something, aren't I?
You absolutely are.
What's some other ones? Do you know any other ones?
Well, there's your tea cakes, your scones.
So what's a tea cake? A tea cake is?
Neck of the woods.
Is that raisins?
Yeah, I mean, they might have raisins in.
Of course they will. Mike, honestly, if you're asking the question, they will.
They'll chuck the word fruit in front of it, if that happens.
Yeah, which means raisins. Which means raisins.
The Darlington Fat Fist.
The Leicester suet eclair.
Yeah. That's boiled. That's a boiled bun with raisins, isn't it?
That's a boiled bun served with meat, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. It could be served with or without meat. That's me done for the day.
I think so too.
That was pathetic from all of us. Absolutely pathetic.
A Lincolnshire elbow?
No, too late.
No.
And also not a very good one. I think
no, it's not a good one.
I think
that's fine.
We're leaving this in the edit, by the way.
Yeah. We have to learn from this.
We're laying bare the process.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate Pompidou.
The ultimate Pompidou.
Do you think?
Sometimes is when you look down a tube and there's nothing in it. And now it's time for Pompidou section. Pompidou.
We've got a bit of banjax there, but that's okay. Ben's had a traumatic start to the day.
Yes. So, Ben, so tell us what happened.
Well, I touched the fuse box.
Mm. Yeah.
Basically, the hot crisp buns went in. So, let's rewind. We're on the WhatsApp to each other.
Yeah.
We haven't started on time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And what happens is, we're meant to start at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Normally what happens is, it's about 10 past 10, and we'll go, 10:15? I know that means we'll start about 10:35.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful little dance that we play with each other now. No one loses face. It's understood how the rules of the dance work.
And almost by talking about it now, we might destroy this.
Well, that's the thing. We don't want to ruin it because it works extremely well as a system. We've never met at 10 ever, but we always say, we'll meet at 10. Yes, we'll meet at 10. And it's crucial that we don't start to mess around with that part of the process. If we say, actually, how about 10:30, then you know we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Because at 10 o'clock, I was 7 miles away in a car.
Yeah, so that is pushing it. That is starting to push
That's
it.
That's pushing it in the Henry style.
You, Henry, were in a glorious London park, as usual.
It's about constriction and freedom, isn't it? You need to feel constricted by the deadline, but what you need is a little bit of give. It's like the perfect pair of trousers. They're contained around the midriff and crotch.
A natty pleat at the top.
A natty pleat.
Bulging pockets.
Bulging pockets. Full of everything you need for the day.
Your laptop.
Your laptop, your keys.
3 square meals.
And a Brompton. So we say 10, but we know it means 10:30. Mm. The trouble is, once you start to know it means 10:30, once you start to know it means 10:30 becomes the new constriction point.
Well, that's maybe what happened today, because I got in touch early last night saying, I'm not going to be able to do 10 o'clock, let's push it. And then actually we didn't start until about 11.
Mm.
Yeah.
I do start at 10.
No, I know, Henry. I know Mike sits there like an upright little hound waiting for his treats.
I sit there, I commune with some of my innermost regrets. It's my favourite part of the day. It's peaceful. Yeah.
You'll replay some lunches that you made an absolute pig zero, won't you? And you'll sort of replay them in your head and just tweak certain details and see, what could you have done better?
In my horsehair trousers.
Yeah.
And then it gets to about 1:30 and I take them off. And I'm ready to go.
But today, so what happens is, in the little dance, Henry's in a London park drinking a coffee normally.
Mm.
He'll say, what about 1:15? I know that means not really, a bit later. Then I'll get to about 20:20 and I won't have eaten anything yet in the day.
Mm.
And I know that that's a complete recipe for disaster. So I will say, I'm going to get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems kind of acceptable pre-podcast recording.
Mm-hmm.
But what that actually means is, I'm going to make some toast.
On this occasion, you upgraded that from toast, didn't you?
Well, because we were in a religious part of the calendar.
That's right.
So eat toast would be to be eating Satan's very wafers. So, to give due deference to the Church of England, I popped the hot cross buns into the toaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was. I don't know if God was involved, but I pressed it down. All of the electrics in the entire house disappeared.
Mm. It sounds like you've probably got a sort of malevolent spirit in your fuse box, doesn't it? Probably thought it was trying to be exercised.
They did mention, the estate agent did mention that.
Mm.
I think, Ben, what's happened is you've sort of... Mike and I have been through all this stuff, right? So don't patronise you. Well, you're sort of almost doing things in the wrong order a bit. You're still. It's a lovely phase. I remember this phase. It's a lovely phase. And it is lovely to see. Because you're on top of things like the fuse box, but actually sometimes you haven't still got your head around certain basic things like what you can put in the toaster or not. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, for example, you can't put a grease-heavy, raisined British UK treat bakery baked good into a postman. But I think you're on top of that already.
I've learned
you can't
that
buy the because the grease is going to seep out. It's going to cause problems. The other thing is, did you? I'm guessing you haven't yet got onto compressing things. It's flattening and compressing things to make them more of a flat oblong shape.
Like daffodils,
the toaster.
Yeah, animal hides, exactly. And so on.
Animal hides,
bolognese,
chicken fillets. It's about really turning things into shapes and sizes that you could put into an envelope and post to someone. I do.
But I'm posting it to toasted.
Exactly. And that's what the post box is in a way, isn't it? I mean, sorry, that's what a toaster is in a way, isn't it? It's got two slots. You post bread to yourself.
Have you got to pop to the post office later on, Henry? It feels like there's something, feels like a little bit like there's something on your mind that keeps creeping in.
Anyway, yeah, sorry, I keep interrupting. Sorry, Ben. Tell us what happened.
I think he has a few times, hasn't he?
Right now. The electrics went. You put the hot cross bun in this house, the electrics went.
Yes. I made my way to the fuse box and I knew it was a big moment. Mm-hmm. So I changed into a suit and tie.
Well done.
Put on your ceremonial sword.
And then wellies, of course.
Yeah.
Because I was touching pure electricity. And as I flicked the little switch,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moustache just grew.
That's what happens.
The first one comes.
And yeah. Here I am.
Yeah. And you're lucky it grew in the right place as well.
Really?
Have you checked your body? Because you may have two or three other moustaches on you.
What a happy day.
Yeah.
And so you pressed the thing and it came back on. Amazing.
Oh, what a story.
It's absolutely fantastic.
What's been going on in your life, Michael?
What has been going on in my life? I had a bit of a scare the other day.
Oh.
Old Pam.
Pam. Pam. Pam. Pam. Pam. Pam. Pam. Pam.
Good girl, Pam. Good girl, Pam. Oh, Pam. 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 No. No. Pam. 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 She nicked... She nicked half a curly whirly off one of my daughters.
A whirly?
She nicked the whirly.
She nicked the whirly.
My daughter's already eaten the curly. She nicked the whirly.
Yeah. Your daughter eats them left to right.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which, as we all know, is a chocolate treat. And chocolate is, of course, poisonous to dogs. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the first things you learn as a dog owner. Chocolate.
Don't give them a curly whirly.
And I absolutely panicked. My wife wasn't in at the time, and I don't think I covered myself in glory necessarily. But I mean, it was quite late, so I called the emergency vet immediately.
Right,
I think probably terrified my daughters while I was doing this.
Oh no!
Who just assumed that Pam was just going to drop dead.
Oh lordy!
And I got through.
Did you try the Heimlich manoeuvre?
I got through to the vet, who is obviously quite busy, and also entirely untroubled by the idea of a medium-sized dog eating half of a curly whirly. the chocolate content of which is negligible. I think
it's kind of like, you know, they talk about like when they try and create new, what's that stuff that's like one molecule thick,
like a sort of nanofilm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's super strong. And it's going to be the future of British industry.
Yeah, okay.
And they're going to make planes out of it.
Yeah, it's that, but chocolate. Yes, but that's based on the coating of a curly whirly.
Exactly, yeah. The amount of chocolate on a curly whirly is so negligible.
Yeah, the poor woman was obviously... I mean, she couldn't just tell me to naff off. So she did want to deal with me. And she dealt with me very expertly. And she said, okay, tell me, okay, what's the estimated weight of the dog? Okay, fine. And you're saying it's a curly-whirly? Okay, and what proportion...
You were seeing that she's flicking through a massive chart looking for curly-whirly.
What proportion of the curly-whirly? Okay, fine. So just the whirly.
Just the
about
whirly.
A half. Okay, fine. Just I'm just going to... And then she said, and this is the moment when all of the panic just eased out of my body. She said, okay, I'm just going to enter that into the chocolate canine poisoning calculator. And there was a bit of a noise back on the phone. And she got back, 0.2. Yeah, that's, don't worry about that. That's a negligible amount of chocolate and she'll be absolutely fine. Doesn't need to come in. Don't need to make her sick or anything. That's absolutely fine. All right. All the best. Take care. And I was just completely thrilled. Told the girls and we punched the air and we celebrated and we carried on with our movie. And it was only the next day that I worked out that there was a possibility that there is no such thing as the chocolate canine poisoning calculator.
Yeah.
The chance of that being in her bag,
yeah,
ready to go,
yeah,
are, yeah, so slim. But she knew.
And the idea
knew,
of her keying in the word curly whirly into some kind of, yeah, the, yeah, machine.
She knew she couldn't just tell me it'll probably be fine. She needed, she knew that I needed some sort of data point.
She could tell what you were like as well.
Yeah.
Because that's what you
she
need.
She got the read off me straight, yeah, away down, yeah, the blower.
Didn't she also say, and I'm also now just transmogrifying you the invisible health hat?
She did. The, she did, which Pam wore overnight. Because I was saying, did I'll she stay up all night and I'll watch it. She said, no, you should be, you can go to sleep because I'll send it. I'm transmogrifying the invisible health hat right now. So
yeah.
Can you look at your dog now? Can you see the hat? No. Perfect. Then that means it's arrived.
And I'm now going to send you a very real invoice.
That needs to be paid within 14 days. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad Pam is in rude health.
She's in rude health. And yeah, I think I was played, but I was so happy to be played. I've never been happier to be played in all my life.
So do you think if you'd taken Pam actually into the vet face to face, would she have gone behind a screen maybe and said, I'm just going to, and sort of made noises like,
yes, maybe, or she'd have got sort of a remote control from an old sort of digital radio and gone, I don't know what she would have done exactly, but
I think in a busy emergency vet, be a very different atmosphere. I think it'd be like, all right, we've got 215 on the 94, all right, get XG, we need blood. There'll be like just dogs on trolleys going left and right. Be like,
or dogs being abandoned by other dogs at the surgery entrance, yeah, with gunshot, yeah, wounds and racing, yeah, off in the car. Yeah. Yeah. All that stuff going on.
We need a tail transplant. We need a tail transplant in 4-9 now. Now. Now, people. That kind of thing.
Do dogs have adrenaline? I don't know. Put it in anyway. Can cats eat chocolate?
I don't. Well, for one thing, I mean, if that happened to me, that as a Londoner, what's happened to Mike there, my main thing would, I'd be absolutely mortified at how low the chocolate content was in.
Well, it's not just the chocolate content, it's the cocoa percentage within the chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be even more horrifying for a West Londoner.
As a Londoner, because here it would be, you know, it would be, what kind of chocolate was it, Mr. Packer? And I'd have to say it was 90%. It was Montezuma 90% fair trade.
At which point your dog would have to be completely purged.
Yeah. Well, they have to redog it from the inside. Yeah. They have to be completely redogged. They'd have to dog transplant it. They have to transplant.
Even though it's a cat.
Yeah. It'd be that extreme. No, cats are obligate carnivores. Mm. They only eat meat.
It's their obligation.
Yeah.
It's their obligation to try and rid the world of all other animals. They're all gradually trying to achieve, cats. It's weird, isn't it? On one level, dogs are more intelligent in that you can train them. They can, you know, become police dogs and anti-drugs dogs and
pro-drugs dogs.
They can become pro-drugs dogs, or they can become pro-legalization dogs. They can become dogs that believe that
we need to treat it more like a medical issue than a
exactly.
Crime
so
thing.
Certain, yeah, drugs should be able to
grey
be
areas.
NHS.
Dogs. Yeah,
there's grey area dogs. There's full-on Colombian
sort of narco dogs.
Narco dog.
in a mansion in the jungle.
Sicario chihuahuas.
They're absolutely vicious, those ones. Yeah. So on that level, they're more intelligent. But on the other hand, that Sicario chihuahua, if you just left a pack of chocolate boasters in front of him, knowing full well that would kill him, he'd just eat all of them. Anyway, it's the quasi to take down. Whereas cats are more selective, they sort of seem to know what's bad for them.
I'll do a bluebell jingle.
It has been...
Please do.
Yeah, it's been pointed out that that's missing.
Yeah, we definitely need a bluebell jingle. I didn't want to say, because there's been a Pam jingle for a while, so it's been sort of...
Has that been niggling?
Been a little bit of... It's been a little niggling a little bit. but as long as when we do finally record the last podcast, you will retrospectively make sure that Bluebell's had at least as many renditions of her Bluebell as Pam has, then didn't see any problem. Everyone just relax, have a good time.
Well, maybe maybe Bluebell should start generating a few more anecdotes, Henry.
Well, maybe to the fact that Bluebell knows what's food and what isn't, and has full control of her bowels relatively. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Sorry, I missed the email. Did I say that was a bad thing? Sorry. Maybe the fact that I've had bluebell for quite a lot longer than Mike said, Pam, bluebell's actually born, during the Cameron administration.
She's seen.
Understand? Yeah, maybe she.
The coalition or the second Cameron Parliament.
Either way, she's existed in a completely different geopolitical era.
She has,
exactly,
pre-Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when Pam has a coherent position on Nick Clegg and the Lib Dems' attitude to tuition fees, then she can join Bluebell in a conversation about it. Until then, I think we'll just have to agree to disagree on who's more important.
Bluebell, Bluebell, soft and gentle and wise and kind. Bluebell, Bluebell, sturdy paws and silky thighs. Bluebell, there she flies like a furry star. Classic and stylish like a vintage car. You're gonna go far. Bluebell, Bluebell, take me away on a magical trip. Bluebell, Bluebell, to the Milky Way on your fairy spaceship. Bluebell, I'll feed you meat biscuits upon the moon. We'll defeat a giant worm like in June. I'll see you there soon. Bluebellina and Bluebarama, Bluebalama and Bluebaruma, Bluebarata and Bluebarata, Bluebaraka. We'll swipe off the faces of our enemies. You'll toy with the corpses of anyone who defies our galactic rule. It's cruel to be kind, but mainly to be cruel.
Okay, let's turn on the bean machine.
Baby.
Okay.
Is that a new hand crank, by the way, Ben?
Yes, and it's an ebony hand crank.
Yeah, really nice.
Using ebony that was recovered from the Titanic, actually.
Oh, is it?
It was the handle of a sort of bat they used to hit the people to get them to stoke faster.
The stoking cudgel.
The stoking cudgel.
That's an original Titanic stoking cudgel.
It is, yeah.
It's so nice that that's being reused.
And it's lovely.
Second life now.
And it's got some little. I'm just looking. Can you hold it up, Ben? So if you just,
yeah,
obviously don't hurt yourself, but can you, Ben?
You'll have to lean to the side a little bit.
Can you just lean to the side?
It's so like the nurses to raise me.
Yes, I mean, frankly, they didn't seem to do much. So I mean,
well, you're on the hoist anyway, so it shouldn't be too much trouble. Just a flick of a switch.
If you just get,
oh, there we are.
That's lovely. Yes, yeah, so
it's lovely.
Oh, that's really nice. Because it's slightly misshapen, isn't it? Where it was used to cudgel, you can see where it's been practically wrapped around someone's head.
Well, it's quite a poignant thing, I think, because obviously when it hit the iceberg, their first thought was, if we really cudgel these guys, we could get to New York in time before we...
Yeah. Well, that was the thing which went wrong, which is maybe we just need to cudgel harder, cudgel harder, cudgel harder.
And then they tried to cudgel the iceberg itself, didn't they?
Yeah. Cudgel it.
But it was too late.
We built an empire on cudgeling. Just we cudgel through it. That's what we do. I was... cudgeled very, very hard throughout my childhood at St. Cudgel's, the boarding school, where we all went.
St. Cudgel's Le Paddle.
St. Cudgel's Le Paddle. To me, one thing, if you can't cudgel your way through it, it's because it is the cudgel.
Well, the iceberg was in itself a big cudgel.
And they should have learned lessons, because originally, before they built the Titanic, they tried to get from Southampton to New York by cudgeling through the North Atlantic, didn't they?
That's right.
So they should have known then that the cudgel was fallible.
It's essentially what the British Empire realised at a point was the amount of emotional constipation that was created by the boarding school system meant that just British people just had a huge amount of energy in them. which came out in one of three ways: cudgeling, barbershop singing, and
artifact theft.
And artifact theft. Those are the three ways in which British people.
Yes, I can never tell my father that I love him. But on the other hand, I do have this Egyptian hand.
Precisely. Yes, my mother hasn't looked at me since I was 4 years old. But on the other hand, on the hand, I'm in a barbershop quintet. And so the idea of cudgeling is, of course, it's an expression of sort of pent-up rage, which creates a piston-like action in the right arm.
Which produces stoking energy in the person being cudgeled.
Yeah. Which he or she then expresses via the piston or...
Sprocket?
The other way. Yeah. Pick a piston, a sprocket, or a cog.
Or a shovel.
Or a shovel. And all that cudgel energy goes into that, and then that powers, essentially, yeah, the British Empire, trains... planes, cafes. Yes, they tried to cudgel their way across the Atlantic, as you say, Mike, and they only got as far as...
I think the Faroe Islands.
It was around about there, wasn't it?
They'd already gone too far north at that point.
Yeah.
And then to come back.
They had to cudgel them. Well, they had to reverse cudgel.
Reverse cudgel was very tricky.
Yeah.
You can't take a cudgel back, that's the thing. You can't get the cudgel energy back out of the cudgelee unless they cudgel you.
Well, then you're looking at the perfect cudgel circle, which, of course, is impossible, but...
It's a thought experiment, isn't it?
It's a thought experiment.
British philosophers have wrestled with for many, many centuries.
Yeah. If you've got enough people to cudgel each other in a circle, the cudgeler puts cudgel energy into the cudgelee, who then becomes very, very angry that they're being cudgeled. They put that anger into the cudgeling of the next cudgelee, and you've got a virtuous circle of cudgel rage, cudgel expression, creating the need for further cudgeling off of the cudgel rage that's been instilled by the cudgeler who got cudgeled by the cudgelee who was cudgeled by the cudgeler that you cudgeled.
Yeah, until they're all just cuddled into a sort of fine powder.
Yeah.
So that was cudgels.
That was cudgels.
Which I assume was the topic.
Thanks to Brendan from Bremen for sending us that.
But yes, no, it was the hand crank. Yeah, it's lovely, Ben. Really nice.
Yes, it's been lovingly restored. The barnacles have been shorn off and... Yeah, it's looking good. So,
well, let's see it in action.
If I give that a crank,
yes, please.
Okay, so this week's topic, as sent in by Emmanuel from Bremen, is. Mountains.
It's not bad. I think most people would have to warm up into a yodel like that, Henry.
Straight in.
You've got it right there.
I've got yodel energy to give.
Tip of the back of your throat.
Yeah.
We don't do mountains very well here, do we? I mean, even in Wales. Wales has arguably technically got a couple, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's true, actually.
But mostly we've just got some quite pretty hills, really.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. I think Snowdonia, or to give it its true name, Areri, is a nice place. But I remember, you know, I went there as a kid, and in Scotland they're good, and Lake District's nice, whatever. But then I remember I went to the Alps when I was 11 or 12 or something, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. This is...
Oh, okay. We really don't actually do mountains that well, do we? This is good. This is the good stuff.
This is the business.
Because isn't it Snowdon has a doesn't it have like a essentially an A road going to the top of it, doesn't it? That's because that will tend to happen to you on a British mountain
with a wild bean cafe halfway up.
There'll be several wild bean cafes. On the way up, and there'll be like a Boots on top. That's what happens in British mountains. You feel quite intrepid, but what you have to do is make sure you don't look to the left and right too much. You just have to go.
You don't see the Rymans.
You don't see the Rymans, although you will make a mental note if you do spot it. That
I could do with a new notebook, actually.
I could pick up a printed cartridge on the way back. assuming I survive this intrepid mission, then I will pick up some printer cartridges and tell you what, though. And this isn't a thought you should ever have when you're being a proper explorer or going up a really intrepid mountain. You should never have the thought, which is, of course, tell you what, the actual printer cartridges cost almost more than the actual bloody printer. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're having that thought at a summit,
yeah, you should.
It's not a mountain that you
shouldn't be having that thought on a summit.
No.
A summit from which you can see tens of thousands of branches of Rymans.
Well, as far as the eye can see, that's actually...
But that's why you go to the top of Everest, isn't it? Because you can see every Ryman
in the world.
on a clear day.
You can see every Ryman in the world. Because of the curvature of the Earth, isn't it? You can see... And if you've got very good binoculars...
Curvy ones.
If you've got very good curvy binoculars, you can see... And this sometimes happens. It's very poignant. You can actually see some of the deals that you're now unlikely to ever be able to profit from because you've been up on the stuff for a couple of minutes too long now, and you're probably not going to make it down. But you can see that bloody hell, 3 for 2 on A4 printer paper, and actually 3 milligrams. That's actually a decent weight. And then you freeze.
Oh no! Oh god, this is the best time of year to buy Christmas wrapping paper, isn't it? Oh, it's ready to be knocked right down.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell, lever arch folders, 345. What is a folder at the end of the day? Because mainly it's the space in between the folder that you buy. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, the folder's containing space. And they die up there.
Yeah.
And they never get to profit from those deals. But no, it's true that British mountains, it's just not that intrepid, is it, on a British mountain?
Snowdon's got a cafe on top.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the top, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then so does Mont Blanc. Well, I've been at Mont Blanc. That's the biggest mountain in Europe. And that's
well, Mont Blanc, of course, doesn't have a Rhymes. It has a luxury pen shop on the top, doesn't it?
Nicely done.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. But with that one, you go up in a cable car and you're like above the clouds and it feels like you're in this kind of like amazing thing. Whereas the Snowdon Cafe just feels like a cafe that you could go to just anywhere in Britain.
And there's a cable car. There's a lift, isn't there? You can get a lift up there. There's so many different ways to get there.
Up Snowdon?
Yeah.
There's a little train.
Is there?
Yeah.
You know what? I've actually semi-agreed to go on a hiking holiday in a few months' time with some friends from school. And I don't know if I've got it in me it's in the Alps. Yeah, it's in France.
You're fucked.
And the other thing that I don't want to happen is to be the guy who, because they're school friends, I've still got that school sense of, you never lose it, that sense of sort of peer pressure. Mm. I'll still have that school peer pressure. And they're both fitter than me. So I'm just worried that I'm going to feel the need to keep up with them. I'm sort of picturing it. There'll be a couple of things will happen. One is they'll be disappearing over the horizon.
Yeah.
You know, the upwards. Can you have a horizon upwards? But, you know, the diagonal, the upwards horizon.
It stops you from seeing space, doesn't it?
That's the one, yep. And I'll just be the one lagging behind, sort of ruining it for everyone. I'll catch up with them.
They'll just be finishing their break at the point that you'd have caught up with them, right?
Exactly. But from the next day, they'll have spent the night up there. They'll be ahead of me for so long that they're waking up by the time I reach them. Getting out of their tent.
Then it's time to go again.
And there'll be a kind of, what I'm fearing is the conversation of, no, you're not, of course you're not ruining it, Henry. Everyone's just got their own pace and yours is quite way off from ours. It's fine. It's fine, Henry. You're not ruining it. You said you wanted to come on the hiking holiday and it was at that point that you could have flagged some fitness issues and you didn't. And that's good. And we respect that and we're glad you're here.
And it's normal that there's fluid coming out of your knees. That's normal. And your decision to wear loafers is fine.
Denim cutoffs.
Stop, Henry, stop fighting the eagle. Let it peck away at your head. What's the point of fighting it? Just relax. Wait until the eagle pecks you down until there's so little of you left that you weigh enough for it to be able to pick you off and fly off with you. I think that's the best solution at this point.
It's your quickest way to the top.
So basically, I was agreeing to the idea of the hiking holiday. I thought it sounded great. And I said, so how sort of long do you reckon, how long would we hike in a day? And he went, oh, that's nothing too much, like just 7 to 8 hours.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, I actually felt my ankle sprain. Just from hearing those words, I felt my ankle give way.
Just sat on the sofa.
My ankle absolutely lost it. I crumpled into a heap. No, but like, I was, oh God. But I sort of pretended I'd be fine with it.
So there's a good chance this summer you're just going to be left in a cave somewhere, it sounds like.
I think there's a quite good chance. Could you do 7 or 8 hours? I mean, that's quite a lot, isn't it? That's like a day's work.
I don't think I've ever done anything for that long other than sleep, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of that 7 or 8 hours of walking, there is a heavy, stodgy, melted cheese-based meal that will... You can keep your mind on that.
Oh, but is there? You know, it depends, because these guys sound quite hardcore. Is there?
They might be eating something out of a sachet in a,
exactly,
in a cave.
Exactly, yeah. Is it just some... Are they going to be boiling some beans? Are you just going to have some sort of dried pulses?
I think they're the kind of guys where you get there and you're like, you're crawling and you're half dead, and they're like, well done, you made it. Now it's time to crack open the seeds. It's seed o'clock.
Oh. And you're entirely conditioned where you live to be able to... I mean, you think that you're never more than 50 yards away from somewhere where you can buy some seeds.
That's true.
Exactly. There aren't going to be any seed shops where you're supposed to have brought your own seeds. They've brought their own seeds. You haven't brought your own seeds.
And it's not like up Snowdon, or it's not like UK mountains where you can go, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the big Waitrose for this one. Because see, just past that...
Should we just go to Five Guys?
You know what? We could, couldn't we?
What you could do, Henry, is if you don't have to tell them you're doing this, you're fellow walkers, if you pay a Sherpa ahead of time to just hide a mini panettone every 100 metres.
that's what they do, isn't it, the Sherpas?
On the route, yeah.
Yes. So they'll be like...
Why is your face covered in almond shards?
And glaciered fruits. That's quite a good idea. So you could hide it in like an old sort of stuffed dead weasels and little things that just look like they're just en route.
Guys, I found another mini panettone. Make it seem like we've just come across it.
And it's next to a king-size bed. It's camp here.
Must have been dropped here by a mountain goat. Oh, there's a... See, just behind that little stream, that rock formation, next to that there's a really excellent HD telly that seems to be wired up to Netflix. I don't know how they've done that, but...
It seems to be logged into my account as well. That's strange.
Odd. That's playing the... How weird, it's playing a Mandalorian Series 2 Episode 7. That's actually that's the one I'm on. What? Weird.
Oh, there's a little Yoda costume for me to wear as I watch it, as I like to. Nice.
You see that? See that squirrel that's dashing up that tree? See at the top of that tree, on that second branch? That's my parents. My parents. That squirrel's been squirreled my parents away.
Yeah. We'll see if they want to come and join us for a bit.
I haven't caught up with them for a while. So she falls quite well that they're here.
Is that a mirage or is that a complete 1-to-1 ratio reconstruction of my flat?
What the?
Every 300 yards up to the side.
It must be something to do with the lime, the amount of lime in the rock.
The alpine, famous alpine lime.
It must be the alpine lime in the rock, because what happens is, with the weather, what happens is the rain falls down, doesn't it? And the limestone dissolves at a different pace to the granite stone that the limestone is studded within.
Which dissolves at a different pace to the Smeg fridge.
Of the Smeg fridge.
Right.
And that says...
the Crusade pan.
Well, they've crystallised, haven't they, through natural rock crystal formations have created... When you think about it, metal, Le Creuset's, pamphlets, pens, things you've got lying around, fruit. They're all different carbon polymers, aren't they? Everything's made out of... So everything can be created by nature, because everything is natural, isn't it? Yeah.
There's my sitz bath.
An old box of Christmas decorations. Don't need those till next year. They don't even need those, and they're here. Unbelievable. And what's that behind that bit of heather? That looks like a sort of black, shiny flat area with what looks like a grid pattern on it. And I don't look at that. What's that? You're feeling a strange feeling around your face as if you're wearing a virtual reality helmet, take them off. We're still in the Pizza Express discussing whether or not we should go on a hike one day. Oh, God, you got me. Yeah, I set this all up as soon as you said that it was going to be 7 or 8 hours.
We're still in the Pizza Express at the top of Ben Nevis.
Anyway, just enjoy those dobles. What's that? The dobles have a strange texture. I feel a bit... What's that? Inside your Romana base, you've pulled away some of the mozzarella cheese and there's a black flat area with a grid... with what looks like a grid pattern on it on your pizza.
Better take off the second layer of headsets.
Take off the second layer. It's a double whammy.
We're in the VR Pizza Express on the top of Scaffold Pipe. What's that? Oh, my eyes are opening. The whole thing was a dream. And I'm actually waking up from a nap.
Bam, bam.
Because
bam.
I'm so tired, because I've been walking for 7 hours.
Yeah. And I'm actually at the top of the Matterhorn. And I'm having that hypothermic dream that you have, which means you're probably about to die. Oh.
Okay, time to read your emails. Thanks to everyone who sent us an email to 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. And we are open to emails on any topic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be about whether you've been pissed on by a tiger.
No.
Yeah, it would be interesting in broadening things out a bit.
No pressure, obviously.
Ashley emails.
Mm-hmm.
And they provide us with our listener bollocking of the week.
Accessing listener bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
Who is the target?
Dear Beans, as possibly one of the first listeners to the snow episode, due to starting the episode at around 5:30 a.m. today,
crumbs.
Very keen. Can I please preemptively give my condolences to Henry for the bollocking he is about to receive?
Hang on, but I was so meticulous. Surely I...
it was prototype.
What's the one mistake that I could have possibly have made? It's not possible, is it? Unless.
Ashley writes, the plumbers, plumbing enthusiasts, plumbing DIYers, and people with very basic knowledge of boilers up and down this country will be livid at the idea that you bleed radiators when the pressure is low and use the filling loop for high pressure.
Oh,
it's just absurd.
My one mistake. Oh, God. I double-checked, I triple-checked everything. Except that.
I'm sure it's an honest mistake that Henry would like to set straight. However, it could explain why his boiler was condemned.
I'd been doing the opposite of the right thing. I tell you what, I did notice it was quite hard to get a bleed on those radiators when I was bleeding them. I did have to sort of slam them quite a lot.
The water switched off.
Yeah.
The water had been shut down.
Yeah.
There wasn't a drop of water running through the house.
No. So I had to really encourage them. By
bleeding on them.
To bleed on them just to get them started. I thought maybe that'll...
So is that an accepto-bollock? You accepting your bollocking?
So she's saying that that the mistake I made was to bleed the radiators to get the pressure down.
You said you had it low. She says that's absurd, I think is the word she chose. The pressure would need to be high.
Of course,
idea that you could help the low pressure by bleeding. Yeah.
How are you going to wriggle out of this one? Or are you just going to take it on the chin?
So she's saying that the pressure... So she's implying that it's when the pressure's high that I should have been bleeding them.
Are you worried that if you accept it, she'll come around and confiscate your radiator key?
I don't want that to happen.
What's it going to be, Henry? The nation awaits.
It's really hard one to wriggle out of this.
I think she's painted you into a corner.
I'll just put it to you again, Henry. So... she says that people will be livid at the idea that you bleed radiators when the pressure is low and use the filling loop for high pressure. It's just absurd.
The pressure where?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Reflect Obama.
Ashley, put your helmet on. You're about to get reflecto bollocked.
Lower the visor. Do up all your sleeves very tight. Don't have any holes around your neck. Don't have any, yeah. Ideally, get yourself in a sleeping bag and crawl under an upturned, old-fashioned, heavy bath because you're about to get reflecto bollocked.
Well, let's hear it, Henry. Come on, then.
What was the question again?
So you were talking about... She was talking about the pressure in your pipes. I think you're about to wriggle out by suggesting there was some other sort of pressure.
So you were relieving pressure in your soul by bleeding your radiators.
Or in my body by pissing into the radiator.
I don't think at any point you claimed that you'd pissed into a radiator.
Thus readjusting the pressure, thus increasing the pressure in the radiator and decreasing the pressure in my bladder.
Oh, God. So your flat is heated by piping hot piss.
And also giving the radiators and my pipes a much-needed acidic internal clean.
Oh, God. I don't think this counts as a reflective bollock because I don't think... I'm sorry that I've done this a few times this episode. I don't think that's successful. I don't think that follows in a logical sense, Henry. I'm sorry.
No, I think maybe it has to be an acceptable bollock after all. Bollocking accepted.
I think it's a grudging acceptable bollock, right?
It's a grudge. It's a grudger.
Well done, Henry.
It's a grudger.
This is growth. Mm. This is growth.
And hats off to Ashton for succeeding in getting that out of you.
Yeah, successfully bollocking Henry. Well done.
Let's move on before he changes his mind.
We had an email from chinalovecupid.com. Verify your email. Welcome to China Love Cupid. In order to start using your China Love Cupid account, please confirm the email address. Should I click
on
that?
We can leave that.
Oh, I'd like to hear more from China. China Love Cupid. Intriguing. Follow the instructions. Let's find out more. No, give it a click.
Charlie writes, Henry, as a fellow baldy, I also leave greasy patches on furnishings.
Aww.
And essentially everything my head comes into contact with.
We're sort of like rubber stamps. We're like mobile rubber stamps, bald people. A bald man has been here. It's official. There's a greasy patch.
No two stamps are alike.
Yeah, like a fingerprint.
He writes, I had assumed this was a result of moisturising my head post-head shaving.
Oh, interesting.
However, perhaps my head is naturally greasy. Mm. Could Henry please confirm whether he lubricates his hair with any product? Best Charlie.
Hair. Well, as I explained last week, I do shower gel the fleshy area on top of my head out of a sense of, kind of nostalgia.
He wants to know if there's any.
I don't moisturize.
Do you moisturize?
What's he asking again? No, I don't. I moisturize my face. That's part of the head, isn't it? Good point, Mike. Why? I think we established last week why the grease happens. It's because oils set off out of your skin pores on their way to work, where they expect to be lubricating hair all day. There's no hair. So they just have to loiter around in a town centre, or the equivalent of, which is just sort of like emerge from your skin and just sit around on your
I don't know if that's
on your cranial surface.
I was hoping for. I doubt it.
I forgot.
But...
What? Yeah, it didn't feel like a good answer, did it? What was the question again?
God. I think he assumed that the greasy patches he's been leaving.
He was blaming himself and his own actions and wondering if that's why he was leaving a trail. But I think he's got a creeping sense of dread that maybe it's just him. And I think he was wondering.
I think it's you, mate. It's you.
I think you're now giving
afraid of
the clarity.
Don't be ashamed.
He sort of wanted but didn't want. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you, and don't be ashamed of it. And there's nothing wrong with bringing your own antimacassars around with you as well.
The official food and salad antimacassar coming out soon. It's currently with the weavers of Bremen.
Yep. That's right.
And the Low Countries.
Yeah, it's very much a low countries kind of craft skill there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's along with doily making.
Yeah. A lot of Flemish people involved in the production of that antimacassar.
It's got a Protestant feel.
Definitely.
Obviously, in the Catholic tradition, it's more of a kind of bejeweled sort of...
This is like what a podcast would be like if this was 1640.
Me thinks the Catholic Church have got this transubstantiation business completely wrong. What do you think?
Send us a scroll.
Let's move on before we kick off another Gordon Riots.
Yes. Matt emails, "Hello Beans, I was listening to your recent episode with emails discussing zoos and their often deceitful nature, i.e. the controversial pygmy hippo. This reminded me of a news story from a few years back where a zoo in China tried to pass off a Tibetan mastiff as an African lion. Zoogoers were naturally very perplexed and angry that the animal inside the exhibit was clearly just a very hairy dog. The zoo also had a dog on display in a wolf enclosure and a fox presented as a leopard."
I really like the sound of this zoo. You've got to do a bit of the work. There is a living creature there. It's interactive.
You've got to meet them halfway.
Well, what Mike thinks, Mike, you think a zoo should just, because you love the way that prose makes your children imagine things, don't you? Mm. And makes people imagine things. Mm. It makes the reader imagine, picture what's going on. So a zoo should really just be just the words animal enclosure, just be the blurbs.
Yeah, I'd much rather go to see the orangutans and just look from the viewing gantry and there's just, someone's just put a cup on a stool.
Yeah.
Much better.
That trains your imagination, doesn't it?
Particularly if you're with a child who's never seen an orangutan before.
Yeah.
And then afterwards you go home and get them to draw what they saw and get some quite interesting results.
It's been kind of ruined by the internet, hasn't it? Because your kids, at the press of a button, can find out what an orangutan looks like. Whereas when I was a child, my parents could have showed me a dog, said that's an orangutan, and I would have believed them.
Don't let them near the internet.
You don't?
Of course not. It's the King James Bible and some handmade wooden toys.
Yeah. And blurbs. You force them to go around zoos and museums just reading the blurbs.
Yeah, they do brass rubbings of the blurbs to put in their...
They do brass rubbings of the blurbs.
To put in their collections.
And you say to them, when you are of age, you'll be able to look into this glass case and look at the earthenware shards within. Mm-hmm. But for now, read the description of the earthenware shard.
And imagine them.
And picture. Because I'm looking at it right now and I can tell you it's absolutely incredible.
Much better. Much better for young minds.
Yeah.
Now home to read Revelation. Can we have the Book of Job tonight, Dad?
You haven't earned Job.
Somebody didn't finish their spinach.
And that's, of course, just reading a description of spinach, isn't it?
Right. Well, if you enjoyed that episode, there's more that we held back, and you can only access that if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/threebeansalad. Also, there are other things you can get on the Patreon. You get ad-free episodes. And also, if you join at the Sean Bean tier, you get access to the Sean Bean Lounge.
You do.
Mike was there last night, I think.
I was indeed. I'm happy to report there was a mass wedding there last night,
which
I could
brilliant.
Tell you all about, if you like.
Yes, I'm ashamed. It's a shame we missed that, isn't it, Henry?
Yeah, sounds excellent.
Well, here's the blurb. There were no spare pricks last night at the Sean Bean Lounge as it saw its first ever mass wedding conducted by Archbishop Alex Knight on behalf of Barney Hapgood's Church of the Refried Bean. P&T walked down the aisle with Kevin Travis, Thermos and Hayley Sargent, who also tied the knot with Peter Goodfellow Cook, Mariel Cavedo, Ping and Tattooed Potato. Michael Lauren entered a marriage of convenience with Nav Snotra, who had a sham marriage with Kate Ryle, whose left-handed marriage to Daniel Bowler raised a few eyebrows when it emerged he was in an open marriage with Luke Williams and Jenny Thomas. Cassandra Jarvi took James Vincent, Andrew Haynes and Neil Devlin as trophy husbands, and Helen Sutherland was wedded to the idea of Dave Todd. Claire Lowen tied the knot with Isabel Trolio, who got hitched to David Ogilvy, who dropped anchor with Hannah Gilbert, who pledged her troth to Victoria, who took the plunge with Martin Innes, who got warm feet with Adam Taylor and Mark Haynes. And things were rounded off with a bang when Joel Carriageway, Mike Wood, Richard Hampton, Alexander Gunning, Ralph Hartley, Ken Bell and Rob were united as a single mega-husband in a shotgun wedding, the 12-bore wielded by Sean Bean himself, who gifted them a husband-husbandry masterclass weekend in the Cotswolds. Que vivan los novios! Terms and conditions apply. All participants technically fall under an umbrella marriage with Sean Bean and are legally required to add the suffix -bean to their surnames and first names.
Okay, now let's work out whose version of our theme tune will play us out.
Yes, please.
Give me a number, Mike, between 1 and 13.
5, please.
Okay, Elizabeth Smith has sent us a version.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
She writes, "Hi, Beans. I'm attaching a synthy slash dancey cover of your theme tune."
Oh, nice.
"I'd be honoured if I got to hear it on the show someday. I've also included it on my EP, Sky Fortress. Hope you don't mind."
Sky Fortress. Very good.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Oh, dear.
Well, he's a big synth fan, isn't he?
So yeah, I mean, he's probably already heard it.
He'll want to know where you've recorded it, if you're going to do any live shows and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll love that. That'll be great fun.
Yeah, and as he keeps telling me, I don't have a copyright case with these theme tunes. The whole point, this was a honey trap, essentially, this whole thing.
Yeah,
And every time I take to my lawyer, he says, "This is spurious. You literally asked for people to do this on your podcast."
Yeah.
"This is obvious entrapment. What you're doing is illegal."
Yeah. Oh, he's spicy, isn't he, sometimes?
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for sending that in. We will play out the episode with that. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.